Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Mattock for another edition of Star Wars Rank. Mina Guest ranking a topic in Star Wars, usually five things, or a long list of honorable mentions to sneak in and make our list longer because it's sometimes hard to pare it all down. And with me today for that hard task is Joseph Scrimshaw. Welcome, my friend. Welcome.
I'm happy to be here paring things down.
Let's pare it down. And I think we're going to see this, eventually see this all the way through the end, but over the course of the last few months, for all told, you and I have been sitting down for Star Wars Ranked and ranking the Star Wars figures, going line by line. Shout out to JediBusiness.com. Hey, you know, we use them. We don't know them. They're a great website, but it's been a very valuable resource for us to just see all the lines, clear pictures, links, information, a lot of fun. So shout out to them. And Joseph, today we have an interesting task to rank the Legacy Collection, which debuted July 26, 2008, and ended in August 2010. Joseph, just when I sent you the email, your response was just like mine. Oh, there's a lot going on here. A lot of things in here. So are you excited, scared? What's your thoughts on the Legacy Collection?
I'm very excited. Very excited. This is a period where I really wasn't collecting, so I would see a handful of these, the ones that ended up staying on the pegs in Target, but I didn't do deep dive. So for me, it was really fun to go through this list and go, oh, wow, some of these I'm very much aware existed, and others I had no idea this action figure existed. And that's always the thrilling part, being as big of a Star Wars fan, as big of an action figure fan I am, to realize, like, oh, wow, you know, a little over a decade ago, this beautiful thing was hanging on a shelf at Target.
So what's been really interesting is you and I have been ranking these, because we started back in the mid-90s with the Power of the Force 2 line. That's what got us thinking about these ranked episodes. You and I were collecting like crazy there, and then the Phantom Menace line, everything. But it's an interesting journey through each of our individual lives to see where we were. And I am scanning even right now. I'm scrolling through here. I do not think I own one of these figures. It's that kind of line.
Yeah, definitely. I think we talked about last time, for me, this era of time is right after I quit my last traditional day job and then bought a house and started a theater company, which translates to not a lot of action figure money, all told. So I was definitely enjoying looking but not buying. I have one action figure from this line, and I got it at Star Wars Celebration last year.
Mm. That's a good thing, though, to go back and correct sins of your collection past.
Collecting past.
Are you going to reveal? You're going to reveal that figure today? Is that on the list?
Oh yeah, that figure is on the list big time.
Great, good. Yeah, I'm scrolling through. I mean, I'm familiar with a lot of them. Like you, I'd stroll through if you remember KB Toys.
Oh yes,
through and be like, oh wow, oh neat. Oh, I can't get it, and just move on. So that's been this list. Sometimes these are in our collection. Sometimes, as Joseph said, we pick them up later. And sometimes we just look at them and think, what would it be if I actually had the chance to own them? So we're going to dive into this interesting collection, Joseph, which is from the movies. A little bit. I'm looking through some Clone Wars stuff, maybe some, especially the Gedi Tartakovsky stuff. And comics, video games, like I said, Force Unleashed. There's a lot of things going on in this line. It's going to make for some interesting decisions. So, sir, if you're ready, we shall begin with your number five.
All right. My number five is, I would argue, one of the most famous characters in Star Wars in one of the most obscure, bizarre kind of, not obscure, bizarre moments to be frozen in action figure form. This is the one that blew my mind when I opened this and went, I didn't know this existed. And it is Luke Skywalker Medical Frigate. Now, I've talked about Bacta Tank Luke Skywalker a lot and made my jokes of that is an action figure of Mark Hamill in a diaper. And I thought there could be no more bizarre or weird or fun Luke Skywalker action figure. But I was wrong. Medical Frigate Luke proved me wrong. So this is Luke Skywalker from the end of Empire Strikes Back when he is getting his new hand attached and tested. That's very cool. But it translates to, this is an action figure of topless Luke Skywalker in a cloth bathrobe.
And it's a bulky bathrobe.
It is a bulky bathrobe. Like, just to look at it with sometimes the way the cloth goods robes lay on the characters makes them look like they have like a whole costume under there. Like he's got a clown costume on under there. Yeah. So just the surprise factor of it of, oh, it looks like this nice robe. And you take it off. It's like, oh, damn, Luke. Luke didn't have time to put a shirt on before he answered the door for the frozen pizza or the delivery pizza, I guess. But then on the kind of more cool side, I love the detail that his wrist is open so you can check on the machinery that is making his new mechanical hand operate.
Ooh, that's a good detail. I'm looking at that picture now. If you're listening, pull your car over. You shouldn't be driving too far anyways. And look at this picture. That's a very detailed addition to this figure.
Yeah. So I like it a lot from both the absurdity of it and the kind of cool. Ooh, the wrist open part is really cool. The cloth bathrobe's a little weird. The fact that you do just have an action figure of topless Luke Skywalker with open wrist. a little bit weird, but I love that moment in Empire Strikes Back. I think I have thought of that moment the very few times in life that I have been injured or had some sort of minor surgery and need to recover. There's something about just the way it's shot, and I think the way that both Luke and Leia are dressed, there's a very healing feeling to that scene. And this action figure does kind of capture that of like, have you been through a rough time? Well, just put on your large cloth bathrobe and recuperate on the redemption.
I love that you put this on the list because we love those real specific figures. And they're, like I said, they've addressed this kind of Luke before, but this is, especially when I look at it now, this is specific. This is like almost headcanon stuff of the moments after where Luke's like, all right, Han flew away. I need some orange juice and I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah, this is the get well soon Luke Skywalker.
Get well soon Luke. Got to have a get well soon Luke. That's a great way to start our list and just shows this line detailed. I think the figures are really good. And at this point, we're in 2008. We've been putting Star Wars figures out for a bit now. And you got to sometimes find ways to get creative. And I think this is a good choice to show the creativity at its best there. We are up to my number five. And I am starting off with a non-canon figure.
Ooh,
controversial. Yeah, you know, sometimes I don't like them legends. Sometimes I do. And this is one of the characters I really do like. And it's also a character that my vision of what he looked like while I was reading the book in 1991 range varied greatly from what the apparent design of the guy was. My number five is Talon Card from a 2008 Legacy Collection 2-pack with Grand Admiral Thrawn. This, of course, from Timothy Zahn's Thrawn trilogy novels, Heir to the Empire and Beyond. And I've always liked this guy. You know, Mara Jade, I'm fine with Mara Jade. Like Thrawn. I do like Thrawn. But I don't know. I always thought Talon Card was just, you know, interesting. He was the kind of the underworld guy. He was the smuggler guy. I like where he went with his character. He also looks like a Danny McBride character. He looks like he's an extra in Deadwood. He's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I see him. And all I can think of is Peter's neighbor in Office Space.
Dietrich Bader.
Yeah, I see this. Oh, and yes. I think Talon Card saying, yo, Peter, check out the breast exam video.
Channel 9, Peter. Oh, my God. That's even more accurate than anything I can think of. He's got brown pants. He's got the slung down little holster there, like Han. Got a good blaster, and it's his jacket. The jacket looks like he probably played bass for Buffalo Springfield in '67. It's just a brown leather with a poofy collar, like a faux fur collar, long mullet. I mean, we're talking business in the front and a giant party in the back. He's got the handlebar mustaches. He looks a little like Goose Gossage, Yankee relief pitcher in the 70s and 80s there. There's just a lot. And that's why I love this, because I don't own this figure. I don't own this figure, but I think I want to, just because, hey, I always give the answer of, hey, what's a Legends character you'd like to see brought back? Talon Card's one of my go-to answers. I just like the guy. And I don't have him on my shelves or in a storage box to show the world how much I love him. I think I've got it.
You got it. That's what action figures are for, is to create these little plastic totems of our love of these characters. Talon Card, I've always thought, is a great name. I love that this is a two-pack that comes with the comic book. I always thought that was a super cool idea. I would love to see them reboot that when the old action figure biz gets rolling a little bit more. So I love that. Love his weird look. I got to ask you, though, what do you think the deal with his shoulder is? Because he's got one shoulder joint that is human-like, and the other, he's got like this weird bulbous bump, and then his arm is super much lower. Is that a part of the Talon Card character I've forgotten?
I'm looking quickly in the notes to see. I don't know. Cause I don't recall that. I don't recall, but again, I pictured him as I read the book. I do this often. I don't know what it is with my reading comprehension skills. I need to refresh them. Sometimes I'll read a perfectly good description of a character and then I just picture something else. So I don't know. Maybe they said he has a busted right shoulder from an old space baseball injury. I don't know. Maybe he is Danny McBride, but it's now that you say it, it's painfully awkward to look at.
It is.
It's not good.
He's hurting poor Talon Card. You know, and I have to say, I know this is controversial because most fans really, really love the increased articulation, and I do as well. Every once in a while in these kind of late 2000 lines, the amount of articulation on a human character, especially when you're looking just at flesh, sometimes would take me out of it because it's cool that their arm bends, you know, as many ways as possible. But then sometimes you get like absolute car accident Talon Card and it takes me out of the moment.
That's hard to look away from. Very hard to look away from. But hey, it's on my list because I do love that character. So there you go. Talon Card starting off my list, number five, which means, Joseph, we're up to your number four.
My number four is an action figure that, if I see it again at a Star Wars celebration, I think I gotta pick it up. And it is Commander Cody. Commander Cody is an action figure, a character that I would like an action figure of in general. But this one is special because you know that I like my action figures frozen in a moment of time. And this one is the exact tragic moment that Commander Cody gets the Order 66 message, because not only is it a good Commander Cody action figure, you can even pop off the helmet. He's got a great sculpted face. He's got worry lines and scars. He's got a lot on his mind, as Commander Cody would. But then he comes with Obi-Wan Kenobi's lightsaber's hilt. So he's got that from when Obi dropped it. And then he has that he can hold in his hand a little hologram of Darth Sidious giving the actual order, and it is both delightful and painful. This is a little bit of molded plastic tragedy right here, and I love it.
It is a great figure. It was going to possibly even be on my list or honorable mention, and you and I always joke sometimes we just know each other's tastes in Star Wars so well. I looked at this and said, I can't touch this. I know I'm gonna love this, and you should. It is tremendously detailed. The like you said, the damage on the armor, as you described. I'm looking at the face of Cody. That's some stress scars right there. There's some stuff going on in his soul. Especially in light of us watching the final few episodes now of the Clone Wars animated series. A big Cody Obi-Wan moment just happened in an episode, and we know this moment is real close to happening. And you're right, it's so sad. And you know, in terms of all the great Palpatine figures, this counts, a little tiny hologram.
Absolutely. I think all clones should come with a little tiny Palpatine just haunting them. But I love that this one does have that exact moment. And kudos to Jedi Business. Their photo has him positioned so well that it really is just the moment from the film. And it's beautiful and horrific.
It truly is. And this is, that's the spirit of at this point in 2008, like, cool, how do we find little moments that haven't been covered in figure? And this is a great moment to cover. You don't have this one.
I don't have any Commander Cody. And as we've been going through this list, that's when I'm like, I've got so many Obi-Wan figures. I might want to add a Commander Cody. A fun detail, Jedi Business is so great at really reviewing every element of the figure. And they say that the lightsaber hilt, the figure can't hold the lightsaber hilt because the hands aren't fashioned right. It has a hole in the belt to hold onto the lightsaber, but that doesn't really work. So they're saying that is criticisms of the mold. Fair enough. But there's something I like thematically about that of like, yeah, Cody, you can't stop Obi-Wan. You can't hold onto that lightsaber.
You can't do it. You can't do it. Oh, that's great. Yeah, you got to get that. Pair it with the a good Obi-Wan figure and just have a little diorama on your bookshelf there. That's the tragedy of Order 66.
That's right. I got to pair that with one of my favorites from our last episode, which is the wet hair tragedy Obi-Wan right after he gets shot down.
What do you like in your figures? Tragedy. A lot of tragedy.
That's my number four.
Great entry. My number four is a figure. We talk about little moments. We talk about one shot, one scene. It's all we get of a rather important character to the Star Wars story. My number four is Brea Organa, Queen of Alderaan, number 27 in the mainline basic collection, if you count figures. And this one is listed on Jedi Bases. Her and Bail are listed as light skin tone variation. I'm trying to look that up and just exactly what went wrong there or what happened there. But that aside, this is a tremendously detailed figure of someone so important to the life of Leia, especially now as we got this modern era of Star Wars storytelling continuing to roll out in front of us. Two great entries, Claudia Gray's Leia, Princess of Alderaan, is the most we get with Brea Organa. The story Eclipse in the From a Certain Point of View is the final moments of Bail and Brea, and I can't recommend that piece enough. So, Joseph, this is one of those things. This is a character we always knew about. We always kind of heard about, and then we get to see in Revenge of the Sith, but we never really saw her put to mold, so to speak. And we finally get it here in 2008. Again, another figure I don't own, but I've picked it up. I've had it in my hands before. I have to make that commitment at a convention or something like that. The detail, the dress, the robe, there's so much there. And I think it's worthy of a Queen of Alderaan to have this figure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a great pick because she is maybe one of the characters who is ultimately most pivotal, being such a wonderful mother to Leia, and being important to the Star Wars story. That it's great that there is an actual action figure of her, and it's a celebration of the great outfit that she has at the end of Revenge of the Sith. It looks just beautiful, big regal shoulders, and just lovely flowing dressed. I would like to be raised by Brea Organa.
I would too. And I'll tell you what, looking at just this figure design with the color scheme, it is similar. It's the movie shot. So it's like that purplish with a gold kind of a gold throughout. She looks like she belongs in King's Landing in Game of Thrones just as well. it's like she'd be going toe to toe with Cersei Lannister.
Yeah. And I like that she's molded that one of her fingers is just gently pointing. So it seems like you could use her to just sort of gently tell someone they're making a mistake.
Doing it wrong. And talking about descriptions, Jedi Business has a great description here. It says, you can position the arms in a way that it's possible for her to hold a baby Leia figure. But unfortunately, due to the lack of any bendable knees or movable legs and the hard plastic rope, you can't sit her down and recreate the Revenge of the Sith film scene. That is a little disappointing. Maybe a future line we can do that.
Yes, Brea Organa with sitting action.
That's what we need. And it also says, they say, it doesn't come with any weapons, so it's kind of a bit boring. Well, I say her weapon is her leadership ability. And her ability to raise such a powerful princess in the galaxy. That's a weapon. And if you're in the Empire. So that's my number four, which means we're up to your number three.
My number three is another figure that I assumed probably there's got to be one somewhere. And we'll run into it eventually as we go through this. But this is, I covet it. I want it. It is the very important character in the fate of the galaxy, Weoslia.
Yeah. Yes.
Weoslia is the character that Luke sells his X-34 land speeder to. You only see Weoslia very briefly in A New Hope. This is one of those characters that I got to know better from studying for the various Schmodown Star Wars trivia contests and going, ooh, that seems like a good question. Who did Luke sell his land speeder to? So I'm going to really freeze. And that was the first time I became aware of the character's name and really appreciated just this awkward, lumbering weirdo with a massive, weird head in those kind of farmer Tatooine robes that also happen to look like Jedi robes and go, wow, that's who's driving around Tatooine and Luke Skywalker's land speeder. So the character is just kind of this weird specific one. The character looks weird in the movie, but oh my God, the action figure, to detail the action figure. If you're ever somebody who says, no, the original trilogy is just really pretty serious and there's nothing, nothing too wacky in there. Weoslia is here to prove you wrong.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do? How many eyeballs are there? I mean, it's...
I'm counting on the front. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 eyeballs. I believe those are nostrils and then kind of a little tongue thing. I was looking at this last night and going like, how would you describe that? And I apologize. This is maybe a little bit more graphic than we sometimes are here on Force Center, but it's a scrotum with eyes.
You can't unsee. Can't unsee.
You can't unsee, but it's just, it's very, it, the eyes are all googly looking lots of different directions. It is this weird shape. If you wanted to move away from the other description, you could go with kind of like, I don't know, a rotten potato.
Yeah, it's that's a nice way of saying it. But no, it kind of looks like the team over in Van Nuys, when they were designing some creatures, were a little stoned or bored that day, maybe mad at George. And said, you know, let's just make this character. Let's put him in those robes that Obi-Wan's wearing, by the way. So he looks like a Jedi now. And let's just let's make him a ball face and let's just send him out to the galaxy and see if George approves. It's literally that.
Yeah. And I didn't know this until I read the action figure description, but Weoslia is a she. It does seem like there is maybe some traditional female body sculpting going on the chest.
Okay, yes, I see that now.
Weoslia also has like two kind of flappy little tentacle things hanging out the side. I'm going to go with super obscure reference. What also is weird to me about Weoslia, wherever that mask came from, for a quick background, in Tunisia, it has some elements of like a cosmic horror Lovecraftian monster, the kind of weird, ambiguous shape with lots of eyes in places they shouldn't be. So it looks kind of like, ooh, spooky cosmic horror, but it's not cosmic horror. It's super goofy. So it looks like if Sid and Marty Croft tried to do H.P. Lovecraft, this is how it would turn out.
In a Jedi robe, or what we now consider a Jedi robe. This little detail here, I did not. Weoslia is a salesperson for Spaceport Speeders. That is the short film I want to see.
Right? Yeah. And the other detail that is on the back of this card claims that Obi-Wan mind tricked her to get the full 2,000 credits for the land speeder.
Obi-Wan is great. Obi-Wan knows the lay of the land. This is an amazing figure. I mean, it's one of those characters that, yeah, it's you're so aware of the existence, but a lot of us just didn't growing up. You don't spend the time. Now New Hope comes out. Now there's a visual dictionary. Pablo writes a whole backstory here of when she first got her job and all this. Back then, it just was this crazy thing in the background, and we had to make up our own stories. A lot of it becoming legends and all that kind of stuff. But this is a great, to me, it's an homage to that era of being a fan.
Yeah, exactly. That thing that I love that we talk about sometimes of like all these people working hard on A New Hope, having no idea that they are creating things that are going to last forever. When somebody just, you know, even in Empire Strikes Back, somebody grabbed, you know, an old Doctor Who costume to slap on this boss guy and did not think that, you know, 40 years from now, people would be playing video games still with that costume, you know. And Weoslia is one of those, like, put a mask on a thing in the background, and here we are all these years later celebrating it.
And here we are. That is a figure worthy of the Hall of Fame, but also your nightmares when you look at it. And a great choice for your number three. My number three here is something similar in concept, though looks a lot different, of a small little background moment that became something more, and over time became an interesting character to talk about, and also eventually a character that was kind of the center of a controversy. So I'm going my number three to the character Nick Sant, Shield Generator. Yes, this is the rebel soldier with the big, bushy, yellow beard who it donned the speeder bike outfit to kind of keep the Imperials at bay while Han and the strike team went inside the bunker, seen for just a brief moment, putting on the helmet, and then seen again kind of in captivity. A lot of us love this character growing up because it was just one of those, I think, a conversation piece on the playground. We always talk about that playground in our mind of, hey, did you see that? There's a rebel guy. He has a beard and he wears a speeder bike and he's like in disguise. Did you see that? And oh, yeah, yeah. And me, I love this guy because he looks in design, even especially on the figure. He looks like the G.I. Joe character Rock and Roll, who is the big heavy gunner in the original line of the G.I. Joe figures, who had the big bushy beard and was like from Malibu. And I love that guy. So I was connected to that. A little bit later, as we all know, this was incorrectly, weirdly mentioned. It was said that, oh, this is Rex. This is Rex from the Clone Wars. He's now part of the Rebel Alliance and he was there. We now know Rex was there at the battle, but they definitely, and yeah, there's a whole story behind how that came about and how that was pulled back. I still consider this to be Nick Sant, and Rex is somewhere else hiding around another tree. And I don't have this figure, but I intend to one day add this to my collection.
Yeah, as well you should. He's a great character. And another great description, great way to celebrate this weird character who has this place in our imaginations because his little side story got cut from Return of the Jedi. The dalliance with being Rex is great. But I love that he is just Nick Sant because Rex is clearly a different character. There are some things that match up nice, but other things that don't as much. And I love the detail on this actual figure that he's got the kind of cloth hood that is a part of the outfit, yeah. You know, instead of just the could fudge and just go, and he's got a, you know, his normal head, then the biker helmet, the little actual ankle holster for the holdout blaster is great. And then, you know, I've certainly heard the name Nick Sant before, but just looking at this character and thinking about it, I love the just dumb cheekiness of like, he's an older guy with a beard, you know, like Santa Claus, Saint Nick, Nick Sant. Nailed it.
Yeah. Fist pump. Got it. Yeah. And look at it, you know, I know there's a lot of stories about this character out there in various forms, but I just, you know, I always would daydream about when the battle finally breaks out, does he go into the wilderness with the mask off and take part in the fight, or does he put the mask back on and maybe sneak up on some biker scouts? These are the things that used to take up a lot of my time as a child, which is why we're in the Star Wars podcasting business now. It makes sense to carry that conversation on in your brain, I guess, as an adult. Joseph, did you have any headcanon for Nick Sant back in the day before we knew or heard or read anything else?
Yeah, I think I just really liked the idea that, oh, this is the one time where the dressing up as the Imperials didn't work out for some reason. I think I was just sort of like, yeah, you know, that makes sense because that can't work every single time, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like we're not falling for this. And as someone, you know, I love the Biker Scouts. I've talked about that a lot. This is a pretty detailed Biker Scout outfit just in general, just from that vantage point as well. So Nick Sant coming in at number three on my list. We're getting closer to the top. We'll have some honorable mentions in number one after the break. But before we break, we're going to go to our number twos. Joseph, what is the second choice on your list here?
I surprised myself with my number two. As you'll see in the runner-ups, there are some cool characters that like, oh, man, I'm glad that they finally made an action figure of that character. There are some kind of just weirdos that I wanted to celebrate, but as I was looking at my list, I was like, you know, I do like the cool looking action figures, so let me scroll through here again for somebody who I just feel like, ooh, they look cool. And I found somebody who looked cool and then realized that they were also a bit of a weirdo. So my number two is Herchuk Kalfas. One of the many Cantina characters who have full names that you can memorize. Some of them remain in legend. Some of them are remain in canon. I believe Herchuk Kalfas is still indeed canon. This is the alien that I have always thought of as looks like a Trandoshan, but isn't a Trandoshan in the Cantina. He is a Sorin. And if you look at him, if you like the aliens, he's just a cool looking alien figure. He's got the vest. He's got cool pants with great little folds. He's got the exposed little feet. He is just kind of a big dinosaur head, so that looks cool. Amazingly well sculpted. And I was looking at him going, okay, obscure character that, you know, I can clarify some things in my own mind, get to know his name. And then I got to the part that just delights me and is absurd. He comes with a blaster that fits nicely in his holster. He also comes with a glass, and you know I love any Cantina character whose their action is they hold a glass. His other hand is laid out flat, and as they point out on Jedi Business, he can't hold his blaster because one hand is sculpted for the glass, and the other hand is just flat. So he's a cool, he's not necessarily bounty hunter, but bounty hunter-looking guy who is just designed to be guy at the bar who's going on about something dumb while he's slapping the table with his hand.
Yeah. Oh my God. Released in 2009. Yes, he definitely looks like he's either, like you said, he's slapping his hand down like another one, or he's having a great time. He's like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. He's like, he's slapping the table. You know, he's reminding me of that, that Simpsons episode where Homer is drunk and won't shut up about the Blue Man Group.
There you go. That's a deep cut. Herchik, yeah, I mean, Herchik Kalfas is just looks like a like you're playing Scrabble and you haven't picked the letters out yet.
Right? And he's a cool looking figure, right? If he just was like, he's got a blaster in his hand, you'd be like, oh yeah, cool bounty hunter.
And the design, he looks like, what was that old show? Was it Land of the Lost?
Oh yeah.
He looks like he's chasing some of the kids in Land of the Lost.
Sid and Marty Croft.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
That show scared me as a kid. Yeah, he is. I mean, we're talking, they're digging deep. They're freeze framing the Cantina scene and being like, that one.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of great Cantina ones. It was hard to only pick one Cantina alien. And he's a great one. And I kind of like, there's something I like that he comes with a blaster. But he can't use it. He's like a little pacifist action figure.
My hands are too big to get the blaster out.
I can't shoot you. I'm making a point at the bar.
I definitely think there should be, if we ever open up a Force Center museum, there should be the Joseph Scrimshaw drinking figure collection. drinking. Definitely need that. That's a great choice. And this is a crazy line of figures. They've done
really
a great
is.
Really digging in and looking at my honorable mentions, and compared to my choice, like there's things I'm even scrolling through right now as we're talking going, oh God, do I add that? I mean, that's so good. but we're going to go with my number two here and, I'm cheating. We do this every now and then on our rank shows. We'll combine a list and everything. And I had a different choice, an individual figure of this character listed here. Might make my honorable mentions here, but I'm going with a three-pack. And I'm going all three figures, Joseph. I'm going with the Padme Amidala Legacy three-pack. Mm. This is a great set. You get a Phantom Menace Padme. This is the real fancy kind of headdress. This is we're having some conversations with Palpatine. This is kind of around middle of the film there when things are going bad. She says it's the big, I don't know how else to describe it, big giant fan on top of her head.
Yes.
But it's more intricate designs, and you don't see it a lot in figures. And then it comes with the Attack of the Clones Padme before the Geonosis arena, Petronaki arena scene. This is, she's got the shawl on, the blaster, the white jumpsuit underneath there. So she's heading into action, telling Anakin, you can either follow me or not, kid. I'm going. And then the final one in the pack is from Revenge of the Sith. It is the one of the balcony scenes where she's got her hair down. She kind of would describe it as a nightgown.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very regal nightgown. And this is part of the Legacy Collection's Evolution 3-pack. So you get to see the different characters throughout the movies as they grow. Great idea to me as for just a figure collection. But the reason I put this is, you know, we have a lot of Padme figures, But I don't think we have enough. And I think you could, because she has so many different looks, that makes it feel like there's sometimes not enough. I do think there, especially with Phantom Menace line, you can get a couple. But so don't get me wrong. I think they've done Padme some justice. But I also don't think we have enough. And so all three figures in one set, I'm all for it. I'm all for honoring the legacy of Padme, the accomplishments, and the different sides of Padme. This is a ruler. This is a queen in action, a senator in action, and this is also a mother-to-be, a wife. There's all aspects of who she is as a character and being in Star Wars in this Legacy 3-pack.
That is great. A great pick, and I think great reasons for the pick. And I think this is, in some ways, like the perfect idea of a 3-pack that you have with Attack of the Clones Padme. You have one of her more prominent outfits, one of her kind of a more cool, I'm ready to fight, as you said, one of the many, many Phantom Menace options. And then you go relatively obscure with Revenge of the Sith nightgown. My only complaint is I feel Revenge of the Sith balcony nightgown Padme should come with the comb.
Yes. Thank you. Absolutely. Maybe we'll find one from another kind of figure collection. And she does, her hand looks like she could hold on to a comb. So maybe like Lego has some little combs you can get from the town, Lego town collections.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think we'll toss that in there.
Yeah. Or, you know, throw a blaster in her hand and make your own balcony scene.
Yes. Yes. And I don't have this one. I gotta track this one down at some point, too, because this is I love the character of Padme. I really do. We talk a lot about her on Force Center, and I think we're going to focus even more on some of the specific movies and parts she played in those movies down the line. But this Legacy 3-pack definitely, to me, represents Padme to the fullest. So that's why it's my number two. And a couple, I'm on this Jedi Business website, a couple clicks over on this where I'm looking at the Padme figures. This character did not make my list, but I'm going to cheat here just real quick. I'm going to mention this figure before we go to break. This shows you the depth of the line. I didn't realize I love Nine Numb, one of my favorite Star Wars characters. They have a 10 Numb. I didn't even know until this moment. I did not know that character existed. So
yeah. Yeah. I've got mixed feelings about that one. I feel like it maybe devalues Nine Numb just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be. On that note, we are going to take a quick break. On the other side, we got honorable mentions and our number one choices for the best of the Legacy Collection figures. You're listening to Force Center at Star Wars Rank. Stick around.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. Me, Joseph Scrimshaw, are here with you talking Legacy collection of figures and the best of that really amazing line. Joseph, we're learning new characters that we didn't even know existed. whether we first time we saw the character, the figure a few years ago, or me right now as I scroll through the list. Tennum, God bless you. I hope you become a Jedi one day. We are going to be discussing our honorable mentions and then going to our number one choices on the list. So, Joseph, what are some of the figures that almost made your top five list?
Yeah, and these lists are always so difficult because there's so many different things to appreciate. So I kind of tried to grab some other ones that that represented some different ideas. I like the characters that need representation who haven't had it yet. And in that category, Beru White Sun, in particular, young Beru White Sun, famously introduced as Owen Lars' girlfriend, Beru. Great sculpted action figure and comes with a drink.
Yeah.
Like a little more a thermos, more like a thermos for some to-go soup.
Yeah, little blue milk for your travels. Is that what we're going with?
That's right. You going out to shoot Womp Rats, Luke? We'll take some blue milk soup with you, if that's a thing. Yeah. So Brew's up there. It's a great figure. This is I love the obscure ones from an absolute second of film. There is the Space Trooper. Scene for just a fleeting second in A New Hope as the Falcons coming into the Death Star. But the figure, they could have just slapped like a little rebreather unit on it. But the figure, you can take the helmet off, and it apparently they researched with some actor possibly associated with being a space trooper. Really cool action figure for just kind of a flash moment in a kind of stormtrooper that, you know, it doesn't have a lot of screen time, you know, or a ton of definition in canon necessarily.
That's wow. You're talking about stormtroopers that don't get a lot of coverage in Star Wars. The New Hope Space Troopers is perhaps top of the list.
Yeah, but it's a really detailed, really cool figure with you know, a different and awesome blaster. All sorts of great things to recommend the Space Trooper. Super cool looking figure. In terms of yet another, like, I can't believe they made a figure of this. I had to put as an honorable mention, Akrev. Akrev is featured in one of, from my conversations with other Star Wars fans, one of the most universally challenge-inducing scenes in Star Wars, and perhaps involved in one of the more challenging moments. Akrev is the Weequay drummer in the special edition Jedi Rock song.
Does it come with the drum? Does it come with the drum?
It does. Does it come with the drum? It definitely comes with the sticks because that's pictured. No, Hasbro included the second half of the drum with the figure. So okay. If you already own the 2007 released Umpaste figure, you can now complete the entire drum set.
Finally.
So not even the drummer, the second half of the drumming duo, the famous drumming duo, Akrev and Umpaste.
That's great.
But again, a cool figure. If you didn't know that he's the drummer from Jedi Rocks, the yeah. song that some fans find challenging, he looks action-packed. He looks ready to go.
I love that. He is. He's, yeah.
yeah. Akrev's a beautiful one. I got just a couple more. Had to shout out this Battle of Endor 3-pack, which I just scrolled past at first. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, some predictable figures. Oh, yeah, there's an Imperial. Like, no, there's a specific Imperial. There is Colonel Dire. And Colonel Dire is important for several reasons. One, he is the Imperial that Han hits in the chest with the toolbox and goes flying over the rails. Even rails won't save you in Star Wars. But most importantly, of course, Colonel Dire is played by Ben Burtt. So this is your chance to get an action figure of Ben Burtt.
That is beautiful. I think I've got to track that one down. Ben Burtt's the best. Yeah.
And his name is Dire because that's what he does. Last on my list is this Geonosian Arena 2-pack. I remember seeing these back in the day. I don't think I saw this one. I think there are Target exclusives, a bunch of different 2-packs of different opponents facing off in the Geonosian Arena, in the Petronaki Arena. But number one in the set was a 2-pack of Jango Fett and Coleman Trebor.
Oh, yeah.
Coleman Trebor, we both love for his boldness, his attempt to quickly end the Clone Wars. The rest of you are, you know, fighting droids or Geonosians. I'm going to cut off the head. I'm going for Dooku. And he gets, of course, shot down by Jango. Now, one of the cool things about Jedi Business is they give us detailed close-ups of the figures, but sometimes you have to go Google the packaging. And the packaging on this one puts it over the top, because in the photo that I found, they've got a little kind of little diorama energy of Geonosis in the background. But then Jango is in the packaging, pointing his blaster, one of his blasters, at Coleman Trebor's heart. Coleman Trebor is just looking at him like, how could you?
I'm dead now.
I'm dead. That's it for me. So those are my honorable mentions. How about you?
Great choices here. Great choices. I'm going Padme Ilum. It's the one that almost made my list on its own. It is the Clone Wars Padme going to Ilum, as was described. And it's got, you know, the white jumpsuit Padme, but a real very, hey, I'm going to the snow shawl hood combo. And she's got snow boots on with a little like fur. She's very stylish, and as a queen and senator should be. And I really like that figure. Good detail on the face there. Anakin Skywalker concept figure. This is a concept designed by Sang Jun Lee that almost made it kind of one of those almost made it Revenge of the Sith type of things, and they went with a different direction. But it is it's Anakin after the turn, but before Mustafar, and it works for me in a way. You would have had to really made a headcanon leap as to why he suddenly switched into this outfit and not kind of just kind of roamed around what he was already was kind of wearing. It, you know, it's got a Vader-esque kind of robe and colorings. It's all dark and black leather. It looks like he just was like, hey, I have this in my closet, Sheev. Can I wear this now that I'm a Darth? Can I wear this? But I love it. It's a great design. And if they'd gone with it, I think I would have really liked it. But again, you always have to do these giant leaps with Palpatine, because he's got outfits for everybody just around the corner waiting with that. You said Coleman Trebor. You, 3PO, which is, the other, protocol droid, there. This is the New Hope, sequence here. Oh, gosh, I lost the figure. There's so many, there's a lot of protocol droids in this line, I'll say that.
A lot of the kind of famous, ones that we see a good solid shot of in the original trilogy.
Yeah, very much. And one of those ones that, again, on, as a kid, you're always wondering, well, who's that? And what happens to them? Wilrow Hood, I think I got to kind of, put that there just because of what it represents. And it's listed, I love that it's listed here as Ice Cream Maker Guy. That's not the official listing. And now we know the little ice cream maker, what they called the Memory Core, but now we've seen it in operation in Mandalorian. I think this is one of those, talk about background figures needed to pay homage to a character you see for a split second. We as a fan base have really Paid our respects to the character of Will Rowhood, but to have it in figure form, it's an important thing. And then a couple of choices here. I don't want to get too long. Biggs is the Imperial pilot before he defected. This is in the old canon stories. It syncs up a little bit with the new Star Wars stories now. It just looks cool to see Biggs, mustache and all, in a TIE fighter pilot outfit. And then I'm going Galen Marek, Raxus Prime. This is Force Unleashed. It's the one where you're on that damn trash planet and you've got your face wrapped up. And I used to always have problems on that planet. There's one big trash monster I'd have to kill. I like that there. Also sticking with Force Unleashed, Juno Eclipse. All right, she's a sexy Imperial officer. What else do you want? And so to drive that point home, they said, well, let's just unbutton her uniform, and you get that in figure form. All right, it's like she looks a little bit like Allison Duty in Last Crusade towards the end of the film. That kind of outfit, it's there. And the final two for me, Rum Slegg, which is a character from The Phantom Menace that you see for a brief second as Darth Maul's probe droids kind of go through the city, and it is a very, to me, old school cantina type of figure. Rum Slegg got like the space outfit, space kind of costume, but like a skull head, as if he's Skeletor in space.
Love him. I say out loud to myself, Rum Slegg, every time I watch Phantom Menace and he walks by.
As you should. It's a good figure. It's a good design.
Good figure, good name.
Yeah.
Great list. I wanted to ask a follow-up question about Anakin.
Yes.
Would you have accepted it if he had agreed to become Darth Vader and then Sheev just pushed out of his other sleeve that whole costume, like that lightsaber came out of one sleeve. This whole costume comes out of another sleeve.
Yes. Yes. I would absolutely be happy with that. Here is your robe. Where did that come from? I made it come from my robe. I made it myself. I would like that there. I could get behind that. And then the final one, I'm just adding this one as I'm scrolling up. It actually was a kind of an accessory, but they have it listed as its own figure, and it is Nippet, which is the Walkling from Return of the Jedi that gets scared. And that comes with the another Ewok figure, but you can get it. You can get a little Walkling figure if you're lucky. So
I was going to go back for that one because I felt guilty leaving it off. It's Leektar and Nippet.
Yes. Who you need little baby Ewok figures. And, we love our cute in Star Wars. So that works for me. Okay. So that means we are now reached our number one figure. I'll go first so the guest can close with their number one. My number one figure in the Legacy Collection from 2008 into 2010 is a classic Han Solo Sandstorm figure.
Ooh.
Yes. From the deleted scene that we all knew as kids. We'd be on that playground and go, well, you know, there's a Sandstorm scene. They shot it. They didn't put in the film. We didn't call them deleted scenes then. We just said George didn't like it, and we made up reasons why. But pictures started to emerge, and now you can even see it if you search that up. And I think it's on the Disney Plus extras. I think I remember watching it on there not too long ago. It is Han, pants, shirt, no jacket, no vest, but a scarf, a sand scarf, if you will, goggles. Tossed on his head. He does have a blaster to fight the Sam, and a pretty good sculpt of Harrison Ford. I will say, even got the little scar. It's even got the scar. Good job there. And this is just a great figure. I love Han, as we all know. And this is a very, very specific Han. This is the deleted scenes. They take this kind of legendary, mythic kind of status in our minds as kids of the 80s. And so I don't have this one, but I think one day I'll add it to my Han Solo collection. Han paying his respects to Luke in a sandstorm, but saying goodbye as they go on to the rest of the movie.
That is a great choice. I was very tempted by Sandstorm Luke. These are the couple of figures that I was aware of. I think I did see them on the shelves briefly, but then almost every convention I go to that has Star Wars figures has these Sandstorm ones. And I remember being fascinated at the time of like, wow, this is how deep we're getting. We're getting into actual deleted scenes. And like you said, the Sandstorm was the legendary deleted scene. I remember hearing about it and thinking, that should have been in there. Damn it. But the great, great molded figures, too, of that exact Frozen moment of you want to be Han Solo. You want to be Han Solo in a weather event. Here you go.
Yeah, the Luke one, man, the sculpt of Luke's face. It's weather beaten. It's a lot of stress on his face. That's sand.
That is the action figure of a person who dislikes Tatooine.
We got to get out of here. Sandstorms. So that is my number one, Han in a sandstorm, which means we are up, Joseph, to your number one figure in the Legacy Collection.
My number one figure in the Legacy Collection is one that I discovered. I didn't know it existed. I personally discovered it last year at Star Wars Celebration. I was in full-on action figure hunting mode. You and I were needing to leave pretty soon to get ready for one of our evening events. And I remember feeling like a kid going, Ken, I just need 10 more minutes. I just got to go over there. And because I was looking for a figure that we've talked about. I was looking for one in good condition. Condition of Obi-Wan Kenobi with the separation of the twins where he has little baby Luke Skywalker. I finally found one, and then I saw this action figure next to it, and I was like, I can't. And then I was like, no, I don't know when I'll see it again. I have to. And this action figure is Palpatine Darth Sidious with Mechno Chair. So this is one of those beautiful action figures that he isn't even really an action figure of a actual, living, breathing figure. I mean, I guess it is. There are plenty of these action figures you can get of like, oh, here's the hologram version of so-and-so, full body size. But what this is, the Mechno Chair is the little crawly, walky hologram projection device that is being used by Newt Gunray and other Nemodians on Naboo to have a little conversation with Palpatine. I've always loved that scene. It's one of the little details I love of just like, who cares what else is going on or any other opinion you have. What cool design that you would have basically like this little communication device that it does a walk and talk like West Wing, except for it's projecting the most evil person in the galaxy in small form to tell you to wipe them out, all of them. And I just... oh, man, my love of Sidious combined with my love of weird, hyper-specific action figures. The fact that this is an action figure of a walking table / television and not even the full figure, I had to have it, and it had to be my number one.
I do remember you getting that, and it is a great figure. Talk about holograms. You compare this with the Commander Cody figure. You got Palpatine holograms for days. What do you think, looking at this now we know where the story goes, do you think at some point the spirit of Palpatine, when he lands on Exegol and they're like putting stuff together, he's like, I always did like walking around on that mechanical mechno chair. Can we do something in that realm?
Yeah, we got this big old... He loves claws. Yeah. Yes, he loves mechanical claws.
Saves a lot of time and energy. I love that idea. This is a great figure. And it's... what's the scale? I mean, it's 3 3/4, but does the how big is that would you say that the hologram actually is itself, not the chair?
I'm terrible at estimating actual size, but it is like it's in between. It is certainly nowhere near like full scale. It looks to me to scale. If you had a Newt Gunray action figure, it would be to scale to what you see in the movie, where the actual chair is maybe the Mechno Chair goes up to maybe kind of upper thigh on Newt Gunray, maybe, and then it's a little Sidious, not as little as the Commander Cody hologram, right. But certainly not full fledged. Here's my big whole body.
You can finally act out the walk and talk from Phantom Menace if you get all those figures and put them together. That's great. That's great. Yeah. That was a good.
And it's a beautiful sculpt. It's a beautiful hologram. You can feel the evil.
You can. I'm clicking on that face picture now, and yep, that's definitely a hologram of Palpatine. And yeah, like I said, that was a great day. I remember you getting it, and it was just kind of like, wow, that's a thing. Yeah, celebrate that, which is part of the fun. I think, specifically for Star Wars Celebration, I don't go figure shopping during a lot of other conventions. A lot of times you don't have time. But I think there's some special Star Wars and Star Wars Celebration where it's part of it, where we are all chasing down our childhood dreams in toy form.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to say it.
And that's a beautiful figure and a great list. What a fun, wild, weird line. I mean, there's a lot we're not even getting to. I mean, there's a great Klieg Holdfast figure I'm looking at that I'm like, I can't believe we just didn't do a whole episode on that figure alone. There's just so much going on here. Rancor Keeper, Ugnaughts, more and more. A lot of concept art. Again, a lot of comic stuff. A lot of stuff you look at and go, wow, those legends were wild. They did some things. There it is. The Tusken Raider Jedi, Ki-Adi Mundi in a gardening hat or scarecrow hat. There's a lot of things going on here in this line. Joseph, any final thoughts on this line before we wrap up?
No, it's just another celebration of a time in Star Wars and action figure collecting where there was interest in making such a wide variety of action figures from movies, from deleted scenes, from video games, from books, and just what a great celebration of all the different ways that you can love Star Wars, all represented in action figure form.
That's the way you make a good line is represent all aspects of Star Wars. Great talking about it with you here today. Joseph, tell them where they can follow you and all of your adventures, maybe even some exclusive pictures of the figures you've collected. I don't know.
Yes, that is correct. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and I do post some action figure pictures. Maybe I will post some more this week, and you can find all my other adventures, other podcasts, comedy albums, and stuff like that on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to kennapsok.com for information of all the things I'm doing, including my new baseball podcast coming soon, Box Score Heroes, if you're a sports fan and baseball fan in particular. That's coming out early May. But you can follow it online. You can follow us here at Force Center on Twitter at Force Center Pod, like our Facebook page. Have something you want to say about this line or maybe pictures yourself, use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked or on Instagram. We are on YouTube. In fact, if you love Coleman Trebor, our In Memoriam to Coleman is on the YouTube page. Check that out. Our Patreon page is patreon.com/ForceCenter, tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter for the merch. If you want to try an audiobook on us, go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter today to get a free audiobook. That is audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. But for now, we're going to go back to the playgrounds of our mind and reenact all the scenes that we finally get to with this wonderful Legacy Collection set. That's it for today. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.